Chapter 32. Am I ready? The last 2 weeks of January went by quickly, very quickly. Craig spent a lot of time in his study preparing for the upcoming debate. Andrew had suggested they each speak for 40 minutes with a 5-minute rebuttal at the end. 40 minutes wasn't very long, and it was difficult for Craig to decide what to include in the debate and what to put on a handout. He had so much information. Often this became the subject of discussion around the Simon's kitchen table, as Craig asked for everyone's advice. Peter let Craig know which details from the seminars had been most meaningful to him, and Alan and Beth looked after the proofreading. When Jessica offered to help her dad make up the PowerPoint presentation on the computer, he was delighted. With Jessica's college experience, her ability far exceeded his. Unable to shake his cold completely, and having days when he felt far worse than others, Peter greatly appreciated the special care which Beth and Jessica lavished upon him, all the cups of hot lemon tea, homemade soups, looks of sympathy, and lozenges of every variety, soothed more than just a raging sore throat. He had never had it so good in Australia. Even though Jessica was perplexingly quiet at times, her gentle spirit shone through. She kept fairly busy, both in the kitchen helping her mum and in the study helping her dad. Wednesdays she always spent with Purity, going to the women's Bible study in the morning and staying until after dinner. In the evenings she often sat on the couch, emailing friends on her laptop computer, and sometimes when Peter was down in his room working, he heard Jessica playing the piano. Peter loved music, and Jessica sure knew how to play. One morning, near the end of January, while Peter was downstairs checking his emails, there was still nothing from Rose, Jessica tried to learn a new song. At first she was only playing with one hand, and there were plenty of mistakes. Nevertheless, Peter recognized the melody of I Will Praise Him Still. "Does Jessica remember how much I like that song?" he wondered. "Or is she learning it for her own enjoyment?" Peter still couldn't quite figure Jessica Simons out. There were times when he was sure their friendship meant as much to her as it did to him. He knew he could make her laugh. He knew she enjoyed talking to him. And occasionally when he looked up and caught her eye, he was sure that she cared deeply, like a sister for a brother. But he didn't understand why she so rarely sought his company, and why sometimes it even seemed like she was trying to avoid him. He had never met a girl quite like her. Every evening when he read the Bible with the Simons, Peter learned something new. Often what he learned simply strengthened his convictions, but occasionally it had a major impact on his perspective. The very last evening before Jessica was to fly to Jamaica, the readings had a major impact. Perhaps it was because he had already been thinking so much about his response to God, or maybe it was because it was the first night in a long time that he wasn't feeling thick-headed and lousy. He actually felt healthy again. Whatever it was, Peter picked up on a theme of getting one's life right with God. Psalm 51, as Craig explained, was written when King David had come to realize the enormity of his sins of adultery and murder. The psalm acknowledged that there was no sacrifice under the law that David could give to find divine forgiveness. But David knew that God was looking for a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. That was the basis on which he could beg for God's mercy. Peter related well to the psalm. The more familiar he became with the Word of God, the more he realized how foolish he'd been to ever turn away, and the more he hated the godless life he'd lived in Australia. Romans chapters 5 and 6, the New Testament reading that night, are about the saving work of Christ and how he died for the ungodly, demonstrating God's own love toward us. In this same chapter, believers are encouraged to glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Just as Thomas had told Peter on their camping trip, painful experiences and suffering are God's method of building character and developing reliance upon him, except we first must have faith that God knows what is best in order for that wonderful change of heart to take place. Chapter 6 of Romans begins with a question. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? With a definitive no, the Apostle Paul explains that once a believer decides to be baptized into Christ, he has ended his slavery to sin. Baptism is the crucifixion of the old man and the putting on of a new man. It is identifying oneself with the death of Christ in order to live with him in resurrection. The whole chapter was a powerful exhortation to Peter of the change that needed to take place in his life. It ended with the words, "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? for the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. A slave to sin, Peter pondered, looking over those verses again. How ironic it was to realize that all the time he'd lived in Australia, he'd supposed he was free, free to do whatever he pleased. Yet in reality, he'd been a slave to sin, earning the wages of death. That was the sorry state God had seen him in, and Peter realized how fitting it was. He was ashamed of his past behavior. He wanted to be set free. This is what I want to do, Lord, Peter prayed in his heart. Please help me. The discussion afterwards began well, but Craig was interrupted by a phone call from Derek, and the readings ended long before Peter wanted them to. When everyone else dispersed to their various rooms to study or to work, Peter went down to his room as well. Stacked on his desk was a huge pile of gardening books that he'd borrowed from the library that morning. His landscaping designs for the Willoughbys were taking shape, and now that he wasn't feeling so sick, he was ready to start thinking about plants. The trouble was, many plants that he would have chosen in Australia weren't hardy enough for the Maritimes, and he knew he was going to have to do a lot of research. He'd planned to begin tonight, only he didn't feel like working alone. It was Jessica's last night at home, and he hoped maybe she would feel like talking. Picking up the heavy stack of library books and setting his garden plans on top, Peter climbed back up the stairs. No one was in the kitchen, but he noticed right away that Jessica had returned to the living room and was sitting on the couch writing a letter. Since the kitchen opened up into the living room, Peter had a good view from where he sat down at the table. Jessica wrote a lot of letters and emails, he had discovered, to people all over the world. He didn't want to disturb her from her deep concentration, but he hoped they'd have the opportunity to talk when she was done. Opening the first book on shade gardens, Peter tried to focus on his work. Most of the Willoughbys' large sloping lot was rough and bare. It would need several loads of topsoil before anything could be planted. But in one corner, the builders had saved three beautiful maples, and Mrs. Willoughby wanted a shade garden underneath. She'd specifically asked for hostas. Peter examined various hostas in the large colour photographs and noted down the ones he thought she'd like the best. Now, what should he put with them? He needed a few different perennials that would flower one after the other. Looking up contemplatively as he considered the options, Peter glanced over at Jess. She was still writing and so absorbed in her work that he didn't think she was even aware he was nearby. He remembered how he'd once thought her so plain and ordinary. Now as she sat in the living room in her old blue tracksuit with her hair pulled up into a floppy twist, very similar to the one he'd arranged, Peter decided she was rather cute. Every now and then she would stop writing, look out the window with a solemn, sympathetic air, and then return to her letter with renewed fervour. There was no doubt in Peter's mind that Craig and Beth had raised a lovely, wholesome girl. Whoever won her heart would be one lucky guy. With a smile, Peter considered that if Rose were a rose, with all the perfume and velvety petals, then Jessica was a daisy, pure, simple, and fresh. There was something special about the young lady sitting on the couch that captured his attention. He found himself wishing that he could read one of those letters she was writing. He wanted to know more about her. He wanted her friendship. He loved the talks they had every so often, and he yearned for more. Suddenly, Peter stopped himself. Where is this leading? He asked himself. What am I thinking? Just who do I think I am? Jessica is Craig Simon's daughter. I'm a guest in their house because of their generous hospitality. They might not appreciate any attempts on my part to develop a deeper relationship with their 19-year-old daughter. After all, I'm 10 years older, with a rather disreputable past. Craig and Beth have already extended far more kindness to me than I could ever possibly ask for. Giving his head a shake, Peter laughed silently to himself. Girls can be rather distracting. He'd better just go on reading about plants. Turning to the index, he looked up spring bulbs. Peter was deep in thought about the different colours of tulips and where he could add some narcissus and daffodils when Jessica came into the kitchen to get a drink of water. Filling two tall glasses with water and ice, she brought one over to him. How are your garden plants coming along? She asked shyly. Thanking her for the drink, Peter pointed to one corner of the plan he had in front of him. I'm working on this shade garden here, he said. What do you know about hostas? Jessica leaned over to take a look at his plans. Not much, she admitted with a smile. What are they? He showed her a photo in the gardening book.
Ah, those are called hostas, she remarked with a laugh. I do know what those are. In fact, on my way to college, I used to walk past a beautiful garden that was full of them.
Peter pulled out a chair. Have a seat, he encouraged warmly. Jessica had initiated this conversation, and he hoped she would stay.
I need some ideas on what I should plant with them.
Jessica hesitated. I have one more letter to write.
Ah, oh, come on, Peter begged. Just tell me what was in that beautiful garden. It'll only take a few minutes.
For an hour they worked steadily together. Jessica didn't know the names for many of the plants, but she was able to spot them in the photos and gave Peter plenty of great ideas from the gardens she'd seen in Toronto. Not everything suited the climate out east, but most did.
They would probably have continued working much longer, except Craig came out to the kitchen to put two empty mugs in the sink.
Sorry I had to rush off from the readings, he apologized to Peter, but I've been on the phone ever since, talking to Derek.
Is everything okay?
Peter asked.
Yes, Craig smiled. He's just been thinking a lot and wants to know all the answers before the debate. He's a very perceptive man and asks excellent questions.
When Craig left, Peter was quiet for a few moments, and so was Jess. Then he remembered that after the readings that night, he'd wanted to talk more about baptism.
How many years have you been baptized, Jess?
4.
So you were only 15?
She nodded.
And how did you know when you were ready?
Jessica looked thoughtful.
I suppose that when I came to understand what the gospel message was about, I just knew that I wanted to take part.
Peter nodded slowly.
And how did you know that you truly understood the gospel message?
With a smile, she answered, My dad went over things with me to make sure I appreciated the commitment I was making and that I had a solid understanding of the Bible.
Do you think your dad would do the same for me?
There was a look of wonderful surprise on Jessica's face.
Why, he'd love to, I'm sure.
Closing the gardening book in front of him, Peter leaned back in his chair.
That chapter that we read in Romans tonight really got me thinking. I know I need forgiveness for all the things I've said and done in the past, but, well, what scares me the most about this, Jess, he admitted, is what happens next.
Jessica looked puzzled and Peter tried to explain.
It's great living here with your mum and dad, he said. When I'm here, I'm all fired up about the Bible and Christ's return and things like that, but I'm not sure I can keep it up on my own.
There aren't many of us that can, Jessica agreed earnestly, to Peter's surprise.
That's why as believers we meet together. We're supposed to help each other as the family of God.
Peter nodded slowly as he considered her answer.
And you'll have God's help, she assured him kindly. As long as you continue to pray and are willing to listen for God's answers in the Bible, you'll have all the help you'll need. God wants you to be saved, Peter. He doesn't want to lose you.
This was a new thought for Peter. Understanding God's love was still difficult for him to fathom at times, especially because of his past. Was it true that God really wanted him to succeed?
Can you prove that, Jess? He asked.
Jessica had to retrieve her Bible from the living room, but when she sat down again, she found a passage. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 said, The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The passage did prove Jessica's point, but Peter had more questions. And that help doesn't come until I'm baptized? Looking thoughtful, Jessica turned up another passage in her Bible.
Well, she replied hesitantly, it says in John that no one can come to Jesus unless God is drawing them. So God must be already working in your life to draw you to himself. But you aren't truly in Christ unless you've been baptized. Until then, you're still living without God and without hope.
Peter leaned over to look at the passages that Jessica was showing him. The end of Galatians chapter 3 demonstrated that being baptized into Christ was equated with putting on Christ or being in Christ. Then they looked at Ephesians chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul had written to remind his readers that before they'd become believers, they had been without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world.
All right, Peter murmured as he looked through the rest of the chapter carefully. So when people choose to be in Jesus Christ, they're brought near to God by the blood of Christ, and that's when they can have a special relationship with God.
He sighed heavily.
The true gospel message was becoming clearer every day, and he was fully convinced that he wanted to live forever in the kingdom to come. But what about the passage that said, without faith it is impossible to please him? Peter still felt very weak in faith, and the pull of his flesh was so strong. Only a month ago, while dating Rose, he had demonstrated just how quickly he could lose his way. The trouble is, he admitted to Jessica, I just don't know if I'm good enough, or whether I ever will be. Jessica looked at him compassionately. Peter loved the warmth in her eyes. Peter, she said, I don't think any true believer ever feels they're good enough. And if they did, she smiled, then they wouldn't have the right attitude. It's true that you need to be sorry for your sins and willing to make changes in your life, but baptism is only the beginning. It's the way God's provided for sinners like us to be forgiven, not a stamp of approval that we've finally got everything right. Sinners like us, Peter queried, considering her reassurance but picking up on one phrase she had used. Does Jessica really know what it's like to sin? He wondered. She's grown up all her life as a good girl, committed to God at 15, no blemish on her reputation, willing to give up a treasured career in order to serve God more fully. Can she truly identify with me? Have you ever struggled with sin? Peter asked skeptically. Do you really know what it's like to be a sinner? They looked at one another for a moment before she spoke. Peter's eyes were probing, and Jessica's were filled with wonder. Peter, she began with a shake of her head, everyone struggles with sin in one way or another. Maybe I've lived a different life than you have, in some ways, but pride, covetousness, selfishness, in fact, almost everything that Jesus says will defile us is there in my heart. This seemed rather hard to believe. If Jessica truly struggled with sinful thoughts, she certainly restrained them well. Jessica laughed softly. I hope you won't be too disillusioned when you realize how often I mess up, she said. But after all, if we could completely overcome sin by ourselves, then Jesus wouldn't have had to die. Peter pondered that point. They talked for a while longer. They looked at a few more passages, and gradually Peter felt assured that the time was right for him to make the first step. Repent and be baptized, was the command he'd read many times in the New Testament. That act of obedience brought a hope of salvation. He was ready to repent. Indeed, the sins he committed against God pressed heavy upon him. So why should he hold back any longer? Jesus Christ could return any day. He needed forgiveness. He needed God's help. He needed Jesus as his Savior, and he hoped he'd be willing to give up anything that stood in the way. Do you think your dad is still up? Peter inquired suddenly, looking up at the clock in the kitchen. It was after 11, but he wanted to talk to Craig before he lost his nerve. I'll go see, Jessica replied, rising quickly from her chair. In a minute she returned with her dad. You want to see me, Pete? Craig asked, with a look of suspense. Standing up hesitantly, Peter cleared his throat and said, Craig, I'd like to be baptized. I know it's what I need to do, but there are still a few things I need to sort out. Would you be willing to help me? It was surprising to Peter just how much joy his request brought to the others. Craig immediately told Beth, and both of them were so happy. They gave him a big hug and promised their assistance in any way that he needed. It had been a long time coming, but now it was a commitment that Peter was fully convinced he wanted to make. Before everyone headed back to their various rooms for the night, Peter extended his hand awkwardly to Jess. What he really longed to do was give her a hug, but he didn't want to embarrass her, and he wasn't sure what her parents would think. So instead he took her hand, saying, Thanks for the talk tonight, Jess. You're the best little sister a guy could have. Her face blushed pink, but a hug would have probably turned her bright red. Thanks for such wonderful news, she smiled shyly. I'll be so happy when you're truly part of our family in Christ.